From the land of Grand Hyatt of our city in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the first day of October 2014. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Jackie Vague. She's at Stuart Peterson right here in Champaign County. Take a look at the agricultural cash grain market with the folks at the Anderson's Climbers facility near Logansport, Indiana, and discuss the agricultural weather forecast with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Can you say rain and cold? He'll tell us all about that as we make our way through this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is a service of the University of Illinois.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Let's check now the numbers in Chicago as they've finished up for this Wednesday afternoon. December corn futures at 321 and a quarter, a half cent higher. The March up a half as well at 334. May futures at 342 and three quarters, up three quarters of a cent. And July corn 350 and a quarter, that finished three quarters of a cent higher. December futures up a penny today at $3.67 and three quarters. November beans at 916 and three quarters, up 3.5 cents. January 3.75 higher at 925. The March soybeans 9.33 and three quarters, up 4 cents, and May futures at 9.42, up 4. July 9.48 and a half, up 4 cents. Next year's November 9.42 and a quarter, up 4 3/4. Soft red winter wheat at 4.79, up a penny and a quarter, and the December July futures at 5.09, up 4.5 cents. The Kansas City July at 5.60 and a half, up 1 1/4. The products in the beans, meal now, October 3.05.30, up 70 cents, and bean oil in the October at 32.66, up 39 cents for the day. Live cattle futures finished the October at 162.30, $1.85 higher. October lean hogs at 107.32 and a half are down 65 cents, and the feeder cattle for the day in the October contract at 238.42 and a half finished the limit higher. November up $3 as well at 238 and a nickel. You, of course, are listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It does come to you from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. If you have not yet purchased your tickets for our Farm Assets Conference, you can do that online at willag.org. That's willag.org. The Farm Assets Conference is November the 24th. That's the Monday before Thanksgiving in November. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Checking the energies, crude oil for the day at $90.65 a barrel. That's 51 cents higher on the afternoon. Diesel fuel at $2.65 and 3/10, 3/10 of a cent higher. Gasoline at $2.44 and 1/10, and the RBOB, or the wholesale price, up 3/10 of a cent. Natural gas for the day at $4.02 and 7/10. That's 9 4/10 of a cent lower. Ethanol futures at $1.53 and 3/10, 5 8/10 of a cent lower on the afternoon. The Dow Jones Industrial Average down about 251 points at this hour at 16,714. Gold up $3.75 at $1,215 or thereabouts. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average now at 86, or rather the dollar index at 86.08. That's up 0.033 on the day. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area. Mostly sunny skies today, a high of 81 degrees, a south-southeast wind at about 10 miles an hour. And then tonight, scattered showers and thunderstorms. Those will come after 2 a.m., mostly cloudy and a low of 61 degrees. The winds will remain out of the south-southeast at 7 to 9 miles an hour. Chance of precipitation tonight set at 40%. Tomorrow, showers and the thunderstorms likely between 8 and 2. Mostly cloudy, a high near 81 degrees with south winds at 7 to 13. They'll gust to 18. The chance of rainfall in the area tomorrow set at 60%, and that ups to 90% tomorrow night with showers and thunderstorms after 8 in the evening at a low of 58 degrees. And on Friday, we'll see occasional showers and thunderstorms before 8 in the morning. Thereafter, a high near 63 degrees. It'll be cool, breezy, with a west wind by then at about 14 to 22 miles per hour.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and drydown data, is at AgriGold.com.
You're listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report from Illinois. It's the very first day of October 2014, a Wednesday afternoon. Let's check out what happened in Chicago and get some analysis with Jackie Vake. She's at Stuart Peterson right here in Champaign County, though today she's coming to us from the great state of Iowa. Hi, Jackie. How are you?
Well, I'm really good.
You are where today?
Well, I'm in Des Moines. Is where I am right now. I'm headed almost to the Minnesota border later today for a meeting.
What did you find as you made your way, and I know that you drove from Champaign County to Des Moines, Iowa. What did you see?
Oh, we saw people in the fields. Of course, the percentage of people in the fields that you could see from the highway in Illinois was probably slightly higher than in Iowa, but Iowa, they were taking beans like you couldn't believe. I mean, everywhere we looked, there were people, and it was later when we got in, and, I mean, these guys were still harvesting well into the night, you know, to try and get, of course, they knew there was rain coming, so I'm sure that was really pushing them. They had anywhere from 1.3 to about 3.8 inches around the state overnight last night, so nobody's going today, not at least at this point.
And so they were all just listening to you. I know, in fact, that you were on the big show. That's WHO, the big dog out of Iowa that has agricultural programming. In fact, simulcast on WMT. And, gosh, you can hear that one all the way to Bloomington, Illinois, that is, on a really good day. So some listeners probably changing stations from time to time. You're going to tell them something different from your noon hour experience there at the big show to the time you had a chance to talk to me this afternoon?
Well, you know, one of the things I think that we should just maybe bring up is that I learned while I was at the big show that the governor here yearly signs a proclamation that allows farmers to haul 90,000 pounds of grains and alfalfa products, you know, until the end of November. And I think that's really something, you know, that especially in a year like this where you have such a very abundant crop, it gives us the ability to put more onto a truck and get it to the elevator quicker. So I thought that was good. But we talked about all kinds of things, Todd. You know, we didn't talk much about the market concerns, though, that we saw today. And, of course, one of them was weather. You know, that's why I believe that we took a little bit of a bounce or stayed steady, basically. But, you know, there's so many things that are in the background. The world economy, you know, the Eurozone inflation dropped to a five-year low. You know, and that immediately pushed the dollar to the highest that we've been since July of 2010. We've got protests going on in Hong Kong. Never a good thing when there's a problem in China like that. And the Chinese consumers have been really resisting GMOs. They've been very vocal about it. And so China came out and said they're actually going to do a media blitz in favor of GMOs because we know that they need to use that particular type of product to be able to feed all of their people. And well, we've got the ISIS threat going on. And we know that there's concerns there right here in the U.S. and that something's going to happen. Ebola, of course, down in Texas, the market's thinking about all of these things, as well as very, very large world crops.
Yeah, so all of those things are in the marketplace, but the one thing that is underpinning it came out from USDA yesterday, which was the grain stocks numbers. Those were some really interesting figures, especially the numbers for old crop soybeans.
Oh, my Lord, yes. You know, when you consider the fact that they added 69.2 million bushels to the, to the actual crop year, 7/10 of a bushel, basically, and still only came out with a 92 million bushel carryout. I thought that was absolutely amazing. In general, you know, so that's about a 40 million bushel difference, 35 to 40 million bushels, depending upon who you're looking at. And, you know, that just says that we have potentially 40 million less bushels that we're going to have for this year. So we would expect, you know, to see the carryout on October's report fall. But at the very same time, you know, we know that we're facing a very, very large crop here. When I looked at the numbers too, Todd, I looked at corn farmers were hanging on to 33.5% of the corn crop last year, 37.5% this year. On beans, they had 28% last year. This year, they had only 23%. And that probably is a reflection of the fact that we had such a strong basis on beans that it pulled some beans out of the woodwork. But we saw wheat usage down 28%, corn usage up 34%, and bean usage up 6% in contrast to last year for the same quarter. So, you know, there's a lot of really good information in that. So basically what it looks like is, you know, we will add to the stocks in corn and we will reduce the stocks in beans when you look at the October report.
And when we get to that October report, and I'll take this number from Daryl Good yesterday, I think that on corn, at least, it looks like we moved around about, by the time you take the livestock and feed residual use and cut it 50 million bushels from last year, and maybe if you do that going forward too, you add an extra 100 million bushels into the mix. And 100 million bushels, while not a lot in the grand scheme of things, on the end, can really push the market pretty hard, I would think.
Well, I'm looking so too, and you know, I've seen a lot of pundits out there. I'm not necessarily in their camp, but you know, they're looking at a 2.4 billion bushel carryout, and I could agree with them if the dollar actually continues to edge up and gets back into the 90s. Then I think that is a very, very likely scenario. Up until then, I'm not necessarily going to agree with them. But you know, when you look at the bigger picture, if indeed we do come in, you know, USDA had said 194, I think Mr. Natsinger said 195 average for Illinois. And you look at the number of acres that we actually have. How hard would it be for us to, let's say, use 180 average and take 15 bushels and put it onto all those additional acres in other states, and see an average for the country of maybe 175? And there are people who are actually talking 180. You know, we're not hearing hardly any numbers coming in below 180, even when you go into Minnesota. And so it's hard to believe we have the crop that we do. Now we need to get it out of the, you know, out of the field, though. That's going to be the key.
Well, what do farmers do about such a large crop? Because they're looking at fantastic yields. On the other hand, they're looking at their net incomes being far lower, so their need to protect their investments.
Well, there's just absolutely no question about that. And if they have not been proactive, you know, they certainly still need to be doing things. And that's, you know, you and I talk often that I use a lot of options, and I'll tell you why. I use options because it gives me the ability to be able to protect a higher price than what the futures do. Now, granted, I'm going to have to maybe buy a put and sell a call to reduce my premium price, but I can still put away another 10 cents, another 20 cents. And in this type of environment, a penny is a lot. It's very distressing when you're still hearing $425 being commanded for rents in a lot of places. And, you know, so we can get rents to come down to a realistic price and get our inputs down to a realistic price, and this is going to be a very, very tough situation as we go forward here into the 15 crop and perhaps even out into the 16 crop. Now, and then we add in there that, you know, Brazil's having plenty of problems economically. But on the flip side, every percentage that we go up in the U.S. dollar encourages South America or anyone else who is paid based on U.S. dollars to plant more acres. So, you know, this is not a good situation in that respect. And so I think when, you know, if you're a producer who has done nothing, you need to find somebody who can work with you and do some type of an option strategy to get yourself protected.
Speaking of South America, do you know how far along corn planting in Argentina might be at this point?
Yeah, I do, actually. Argentina was 7% planted on corn. They didn't actually have any beans planted yet. In Brazil, basically, we were about 2% planted on beans, 40 to 50% planted on corn. They're way behind on their sales, too, and this is scary because they're only 13% sold on beans compared to last year at 28%. We did have the first documented case of rust in Brazil. It's in volunteer beans that are like in the ditch, you know, mm-hmm. but, you know, they have that no bean free period from June until September. Well, you know, the government is saying, you know, they had warned these guys, do not plant double crop beans because you're going to bring rust back into the game. And last year they went ahead and planted beans anyway. So now what they're doing is they're talking that they're going to have the no bean period from April to September. And where you get fined, if they even find a volunteer bean in your field, in your ditch, you're going to get fined for it. And for good reason. You can imagine what this could do to their economy. Nothing's been found so far in any fields, and hopefully they can do what they have to do, but it always raises the cost. That's the problem. A lot of the guys were planting short maturity beans so that they could get around using all the fungicides against the rust. So just adds the cost. And then, you know, you look at corn right now, Mato Grosso. The furthest south point in Mato Grosso corn is 287 cash. The Port of Paranaguá is paying $4.26 for corn right now. Transportation from that point to Port of Paranaguá is $1.40. That leaves him one penny. That's a pretty dismal situation.
Hey, I'm going to leave it there. Have a safe trip, speaking of transportation, as you head north into Minnesota. And we'll talk with you again tomorrow afternoon for Commodity Week.
Sounds really good, Todd. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you. That is Jackie Vex. In fact, we will talk to her Commodity Week tomorrow afternoon. We'll record that at about 3 o'clock, post it to our website, and you'll hear it on Friday afternoon, just after this show, on our home radio station Saturday on many of our other radio stations. Now here's Dave Dickey with today's agricultural news.
Brazil and the U.S. have reached an agreement to settle a more than decade-old dispute over U.S. cotton subsidies. U.S. Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack and U.S. Trade Representative Michael Froman will sign the agreement with their Brazilian counterparts today. In 2004, the World Trade Organization ruled that U.S. farm programs included prohibited subsidies to cotton growers and said the U.S. must change the programs or face retaliatory measures from Brazil. The U.S. had agreed to pay Brazil about $150 million a year for its cotton sector. The U.S. stopped paying, though, during the sequester last year. Under the new agreement, the U.S. would make a one-time $300 million payment to the Brazilian Cotton Institute. In return, Brazil no longer would have the right to retaliatory measures against U.S. trade and won't launch new complaints. Mosaic Company says it is cutting back phosphate fertilizer production because of high sulfur and ammonia prices. The move is not expected to result in employee layoffs, but will lead to lower operating rates at Mosaic's mines and concentrates plants. Mosaic also says it expects potash and phosphate sales to be at or near the lower end of the previously communicated ranges for the third quarter. The less optimistic guidance stems from weather-driven production outages in potash and by timing of shipments in phosphates. The U.S. Energy Department did not issue its biodiesel production and supply figures last month, and may not issue the monthly report again until around the end of the next quarter as it works to iron out possible data security concerns. The EIA says the survey does not meet federal requirements for cloud computing services. EIA sources say they expect they will begin to restart publishing its monthly biodiesel production report again by December. General Mills plans to cut about 700 to 800 jobs the second time it's trimmed its workforce in a month as the food service adjusts to a shift by U.S. consumers away from boxed or frozen meals. The job cuts will take place mostly in the U.S. Last month, General Mills announced that it was closing a facility in Massachusetts, which would eliminate about 250 positions. It also announced plans to close a plant in California that will result in about 430 job layoffs. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. Have you visited our website? I hope so. Have you purchased your tickets yet for the November 24th Farm Assets Conference in Normal? I hope so, too. But if not, do it right now. You can do that by calling this number, 800-898-1065, or just going to willag.org. I'll give you the number again momentarily. The program for the day on Monday, the 24th of November, that's the Monday before Thanksgiving. The program includes keynote presentations on land values by Bruce Sherrick from right here on campus. Crop insurance under the new farm bill. You'll be making some new decisions. That with Gary Schnitke and, of course, the Farm Program ARC PLC decision you will all be making if you're a landowner or a farmer, as well as some marketing panels on corn, soybeans, and cash grain. Lunch and parking is included. The ticket's just $25. Buy it online right now at willag.org or by calling this number, 800-898-1065. 800-898-1065. Speaking of the ARC PLC decision, Illinois' 13th District Congressman and member of the House of Representatives Committee on Agriculture, Republican Rodney Davis, says he's really glad the new farm bill is about to be implemented. And proud, the agricultural economist right here on the University of Illinois campus will play a role in educating the nation's farmers and landowners about the risk management tools in the legislation.
They were the lead agency in developing a web-based program that's going to show our farmers throughout this nation the differences in our risk management programs. Because one thing that I pushed for in the bill were options. I think our farmers need options. And we're going to give them a chance to choose which risk management tool can go along with their crop insurance to make sure that they know that their family farms are going to be able to survive a drought or survive unforeseen circumstances.
The Farm Bill training tool developed by Illinois is online now at the Farm Service Agency website. The address is fsa.usapas.com. That's FSA for Farm Service Agency. .usapas, which stands for U.S. Agricultural Policy Analysis System, .com. The new agricultural safety net programs, when used in concert with federal crop insurance purchased by the farmer, says Congressman Davis, will help producers when they are most in need.
Now, these are opportunities for farmers to put their own skin in the game where they buy their crop insurance, but then utilize new and innovative approaches to risk management that will save taxpayers billions and still ensure that our agricultural economy, which has been one of the few bright spots over the last 6 years, continues to thrive and continues to grow.
Rodney Davis represents Illinois' 13th Congressional District in Washington, D.C. The district spans Illinois from near St. Louis to Champaign. It's time now to check out what's been happening in the cash grain market. Tara Denice is on the phone line. She is at the elevator that belongs to the Anderson's Climbers facility there in Logansport, Indiana. Hi, Tara. How are you?
I'm good. How are you today?
I'm great. Tell me about conditions on the ground.
We've got a lot of harvest activity going over here, especially everybody pushing beans this week while the weather conditions are good before some rain this week. So we're pushing probably closer to 50% harvested on beans and just into the first 10% of corn.
And what are your expectations for next week?
Certainly expect a lot of guys to end up picking up with corn this weekend after we get a little precipitation here probably tomorrow. Starting to see heavier corn activity. Most of the early beans will probably be wrapped up, and then we may be just a little bit out before we get back to the beans, pretty hot and heavy again. So expecting heavy corn activity next week.
And your bids for the day?
Half price at Delphi tonight on corn were $2.91. Climbers is $2.94 for corn, and cash beans are $8.72.
Thanks so much, Tara.
Thank you.
Tara Denice is with the Andersons in Climbers facility, Logansport, Indiana.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
It's Agricultural Fair Day. It's also World Vegetarian Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1795, Robert Bakewell died. An agriculturalist, he helped revolutionize cattle and sheep breeding in England. He obtained the best animals he could find, and then he worked with a closed herd, inbreeding only superior animals. In 1908, the Model T Ford was introduced at a price of $825. Due to efficient mass production, by 1925, the price of a two-door Model T was only $260. In 1913, a monument to honor seagulls was erected in Salt Lake City. The gulls had eaten a plague of grasshoppers that threatened the Mormon settlers' crops in 1848. In 1972, Lewis Leakey died, an archaeologist and anthropologist. He was largely responsible for convincing scientists that Africa was the place to search for human origins, not Java or China. And in 1980, European community countries banned the use of hormones in cattle feed. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Listening to the closing market report from Illinois Public Media. I'm UofI Extension's Todd Gleason. Drew Lerner here from World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City to talk about the weather forecast. We should probably go through the next couple of days and the wet weather that farmers throughout the Corn Belt will have to deal with first.
That's true. We are going to see a strong cold front come across the Midwest as we go through these next 2 days. That frontal system will be in the western Corn Belt for the rest of this afternoon and tonight. We'll look for the storms to be most significant from Missouri to parts of Wisconsin and western Michigan. May see some strong thunderstorms producing some hail and some locally heavy rainfall overnight tonight and into the morning tomorrow. I think after that, though, the precipitation will diminish in intensity for a little while and shift more deeply into the eastern portions of the Midwest. Most of the precipitation that occurs on Thursday evening into Friday will be focused on the area from southeastern Missouri to the heart of Michigan and Ohio. And in most cases, we're going to see rain totals run from about 4/10 of an inch to 1.5 inches, but there will be some local totals that could get up above 2 inches in a few spots, and those are probably going to be favoring places like Missouri and portions of Illinois, just randomly distributed across the region. There may also be a few strong storms that occur up in parts of Michigan. Over the weekend, we're going to see an upper-level low-pressure system hang out over the Great Lakes region, so we will end up with some additional showers occurring there Saturday, Sunday, and maybe even on into Monday. The precipitation will be very erratic, but there will be at least a risk of showers in a big part of Michigan and many of the immediate neighboring areas each of those days.
Given all that rainfall and the colder temperatures that are coming, is there any frost or freeze warnings that we should be aware of?
Well, I do think we need to be at least cognizant of the potential for some very cold air in the upper parts of the Midwest as we get into Friday and Saturday mornings. Probably going to see some notable freezes across some of that region. Now, I know a lot of people are content with the condition of the crop at this point and probably aren't looking for any serious impact, but there are still some crops that aren't fully mature across parts of the Dakotas and Minnesota, and we're going to see temperatures get down into some upper 20s and maybe even a couple of middle 20s in a few spots. So there is going to be a potential that we may downgrade again some of the soybeans out that way, and a couple of the very latest developing corn crops may also be subjected to some damage with this event, but we're only talking about a minuscule percentage of the overall nation's crop.
Other places around the planet you're keeping a wary eye towards?
Actually, in South America, I think the focus is starting to shift there. In Argentina, it's been very dry in the western part of that country. In portions of Cordoba and Santiago del Estero and portions of Santa Fe, all those states are very, very dry today. But there's a storm system on the horizon for Friday and Saturday. Should produce a significant amount of moisture across those areas, in fact, the entire country, and they should be in a very good position to see aggressive planting occur as we go into next week. In Brazil, it's the other way around in the south. It's way too wet, but they are going to see a week's worth of dry weather coming up. That's going to improve the planting prospects in those areas as well.
Hey, Drew, thanks so much for taking the time with us today.
You bet. Have a good day.
You too, Drew Lerner, of course, with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason, and that's the Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report.